Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Just as surely there is a heaven, there's also a hell. Pastor Greg Laurie says unbelievers have questions.
How can a God of love send someone to hell? People say, I don't want God. I don't want His will. I don't want the Bible. I want to do what I want to do. God says, all right, thy will be done. He will not force His will on you. He will not say, get up to heaven right now, young man. You don't want to go to heaven. You don't have to go to heaven.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
If we say the word hell too casually, we can lose track of all the horror connected with the word. But some don't want to hear the word at all, and they do lose track of all the horror connected with the word. There's not much difference in the outcome of the two extremes. On A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us to recognize the danger of judgment and how to avoid it. It's a message called A Hellfire and Brimstone Message.
You know, there was a time when one of the criticisms of the church and of preachers in general was there was too much hellfire and brimstone preaching. I'm tired of these hellfire and brimstone preachers, people would say. Now, if you're talking about some guy getting all worked up and talking about judgment all the time with a certain twinkle in his eye, I'm with you. But here's my concern. Where are the hellfire and brimstone preachers today? When I turn on Christian radio or watch Christian television, I can't remember the last time I heard a mention of hell, much less a sermon on the topic of hell. I hear a lot of preaching about how you can be successful and see your dreams fulfilled and be prosperous, but I don't hear any sermons anymore about the subject of hell. And we've got to deal with this because it's in the Bible. You see? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to start preaching on hell every week, you know, but we're not going to skip it because it's awkward or difficult or because it makes us uncomfortable, because Jesus spent more time talking about hell than any other preacher in all of the Bible. So today you can say at the conclusion of this sermon, I heard a hell, fire, and brimstone message. Now, in our last message, we talked about what happens to a believer when they die. They go straight to heaven. The Bible is very clear on this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, what happens to the non-believer when they die? That's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to see what Jesus said about the afterlife for the person who does not believe. And by the way, it's not an unloving thing to address this subject. It's the most loving thing I could do. Listen, if you were in a house and your house was on fire and I just walked by and did nothing to get you out of that potential disaster, what kind of a neighbor or a friend am I? I want you to wake up. I want you to get out. And so because I care, we have to look at these words. Listen, if Jesus, the very author of grace, spoke about hell more often than anyone else in a vivid, blood-curdling manner, then it must be a crucial truth. If Jesus took the time to elaborate on it and discuss it with us, certainly we need to know more about it. But here's the deal. We need to learn how to think biblically, not emotionally. Because when you get to certain topics, people have an emotional reaction. So let's see what the Bible says on the subject. And most people believe in an afterlife. Most Americans believe there is life beyond the grave, 84%. 82% of Americans believe in heaven. 70% of Americans believe in hell. But here's my favorite stat. 1% of Americans think they will go to hell. We think very highly of ourselves in America, don't we? One thing we can all agree on is death is going to come, and then the afterlife. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Now, that time to die may come much later than you expected. Then again, maybe your life will be shorter than you would hope for. But we know this, death is coming. Stats on death tell us 3 people die every second. Just 1/1,000, 3 people just died. 180 people die every minute. 11,000 people die every hour. That means 250,000 people enter into eternity every single day. That is why the psalmist told us in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Hold your hand up to your face right now. Look at it. Look at the width of your hand. That's what your life is like. The psalmist says, each of us, our life is like a breath. It just comes and goes so quickly. Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, actually commissioned a servant to come before him every day and repeat this message. Philip, you're going to die. What a downer. No, what a reminder of the shortness of human life. Before he died, Steve Jobs said, quote, no one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. Yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it, end quote. If anyone could have escaped it, it would have been Steve Jobs. He would have had an app for it. You know, I'm going to die, hit this app, boom, it's all better. No, there is no app. There's no way around it. And after death, we go to one of 2 destinations. We either go to heaven or we go to hell. Now, conventional wisdom is most people are going to go to heaven. Very few people are going to go to hell. But that's the very opposite of what the Bible says. Jesus says in Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there are that go that way. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. But you know, when you really stop and think about it, there are those that would critique the whole concept of hell. They'll say a God of love would never send someone to hell, though they do think that some people should go there. I mean, we would think it would be right for a guy like Adolf Hitler to go to hell, or someone like Osama bin Laden, or one of these ISIS guys that heartlessly slaughters innocent people. We just don't think we would ever go there. One writer said, quote, in our culture, divine judgment is one of Christianity's most offensive doctrines. You see, here's the problem with hell. We have a lot of misinformation about it. We think it's a place where the devil lives, and he has red skin and pointed ears and hooves and a pitchfork and a pointed tail. And he sits on a big throne in hell. Nothing can be further from the truth. That's a cartoon. That's not reality. The fact of the matter is, Satan is not in hell right now, but he's going there one day. So if you're going to say go to hell to someone, say it to the devil the next time he tempts you. You know? The next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He's headed to hell. He does not rule from hell today, but he will go there someday. Some think hell is the eternal party place where the bar never closes. Hell is no party, and God doesn't want you to go there. Well, I don't think it's real. History shows a lack of belief in God in the afterlife is the root of atrocity. Do you think if the atheistic Stalin had believed there was a future judgment for the wicked things he did, he would have slaughtered so many people? Do you think if Adolf Hitler believed there was a final court of judgment, he would have sent 6 million people to concentration camps, 6 million Jewish people? It's the opposite. You see, hell could be viewed as a restraint on cruelty. Dostoevsky's dictum, if God is not, everything is permitted, makes sense. See, if there is no God, there is no afterlife, there is no future judgment, thus there is no right and wrong, there is no purpose, there is no hope. That's really what happens if you play out atheism. And really, If there is no God, then why can't I do anything I want to do? Everything is permitted. And that's exactly how atheists behave. Look at the countries that are atheistic, usually communistic as well, how they destroy their own people. China killed 65 million people. And the USSR, 20 million. Vietnam, 1 million. Cambodia, 2 million. Then you have North Korea that is emerging as a military power. They've murdered 2 million of their citizens. When Kim Jong-un took power, he executed members of his own family. Recently, he killed one of his generals because he fell asleep during one of Kim's speeches. And the way he killed him was with an anti-aircraft gun. This shows the heartlessness, the lack of restraint when God is not in the picture. Now turn that around. When a person believes in God and a heaven as well as a hell, it affects you in the life you live on earth. Because you think, you know what, there's a judgment for that. I don't want to do that thing. And there's a promise for this. If I live obediently to Jesus, there's a reward waiting for me. You see, it comes down to this. Belief in the afterlife affects us in the way we live in this life. Let me say that again. Belief in the afterlife affects us in the way that we live in this life. Some people will say, well, Jesus never talked about hell. Not true. He talked about it a lot. In Matthew 5:22, he warned of the danger of hellfire. In Matthew 5:29, he talked about a body thrown into hell. In Matthew 10:28, he talked about being destroyed in hell. It's there, man.
Well, as an evangelist, the subject of hell is particularly important to Pastor Greg Laurie. That's who you're listening to right now. He says that Jesus himself was very clear about the seriousness of it. Let's continue.
So now let's look at the words of Jesus on the future of non-believers. What we're about to read here in Luke 16 is a rare behind-the-scenes look at the afterlife for a non-believer and for a believer prior to the death and resurrection of Christ. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. This is really a story of two men that Jesus tells. One owns everything, but really he possesses nothing. The other owns nothing, but ultimately inherits everything. One goes to comfort, the other goes to torment. Now, the question is often asked, what happened to Christians who died in the Old Testament before Christ came? Here's what happened, right here, what we just read. They went into comfort, into Abraham's bosom. Now, after Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, now the believer goes straight to heaven. But prior to that, they went to this place of comfort. So this is no longer where a believer goes, but this is where the non-believer goes. They go to Hades or hell, ultimately to stand before the great white throne judgment of God and be cast into the lake of fire. So basically, at this moment in time, and we're reading about, hell was divided into two sections, comfort and torment. Or another way to put it, smoking and non-smoking. So here we have this amazing picture before us. Now let's look at what happens to the non-believer who dies. Go back to Luke 16, drop down to verse 22 again. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. He is now comforted. You are tormented. And besides all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they may not come to this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So here we have a believer and a non-believer entering the afterlife. We have the believer who goes into this place of comfort, but this non-believer into this place of torment. Now, this non-believer is called the rich man, but his sin was not having riches. It was that he was greedy and materialistic and godless. He had no place for God in his life. Verse 19 says, he fared sumptuously and he was clothed in purple and fine linen. What does that mean? Well, purple was the color of royalty in this day. It was a lot of extra work and money to have a garment dyed purple. So if you possessed anything that was purple, you were considered a very wealthy person. Faring sumptuously simply means that he had banquets and feasts every single day. He had big parties. It was a nonstop party for this guy. If he was alive today, you know, he'd be posting photos of himself on Instagram, lying on piles of money. He didn't just have it. It had him, and he was flaunting it. Meanwhile, outside of the gate of his palatial estate is an impoverished man named Lazarus. He eats the bread that falls from the wealthy man's table. By the way, back in those days, they ate with their hands, not with utensils like we do today. And so when they would get oils on their hand, they would wipe their hands on pieces of bread and throw them on the ground, and the dogs would eat the bread. That was the primary diet of Lazarus, the poor and godly man. Well, one day death came. And you know what? Death is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or poor, if you're known or unknown, if you're a man, if you're a woman, everyone faces death. Verse 22 says, the beggar died and the angels carried Lazarus to heaven. I love that. Did you know that angels are actively involved in your life? Did you know there are angels with us in this place right now? And they watch over us. They're God's secret agents, if you will. They protect us. Sometimes they may speak to us. But they're doing the work of the Lord. But one day when our life comes to an end, and that moment has come for us to enter the afterlife, the angels have another job, and that is to carry us to heaven. You know, my son went to be with the Lord, and my heart was broken, and it still is to this day. And of course, as a dad, I wished I could have stopped it, and I wasn't able to do that. But I was comforted by knowing that he was ushered by the angels into God's presence and taken into the arms of the Heavenly Father, who can do a much better job than I could ever do. But this is the hope of the Christian. So if you have a loved one that's died, they were ushered into God's presence by the angels, and they're in his presence today, and you will see them again. But if you're not a Christian, this is a bleak scenario. You're not going to see your loved ones that died in faith again. You're going to be separated from your loved ones, separated from God in this horrible place that is also described as outer darkness. I know what some of you are thinking. How can a God of love send someone to hell? Now, again, you know, we believe there should be a hell for some people, just not us or anyone we know. We think it's sort of an inconsistency on the part of God. But listen to this. Because he's a God of love and justice, he invented hell. Not for people. Hell was not made for people. Hell was made, according to Jesus, for the devil and his angels. If a person ends up in hell, God is giving them what they wanted all along. People say, I don't want God. I don't want his will. I don't want the Bible. I want to do what I want to do. God says, all right, thy will be done. He will not force his will on you. He will not say, get up to heaven right now, young man. You don't want to go to heaven. You don't have to go to heaven. Thank you.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out how hell is a place that people choose by way of their own rebellion. And next time, some more hard-hitting insight from Pastor Greg's presentation called A Hellfire and Brimstone Message. I hope you can join us same time tomorrow. Now, for a copy of Pastor Greg's full message from today, get in touch with Vision Christian Store. It was called Hellfire and Brimstone. Just go to visionstore.org.au or call 1-800-00-5011. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.